This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can bring our church family in Sekunda to you this evening. We thank you for what you're doing in that place, and Lord. We thank you for what you're doing in that community. We thank you for what you're doing in Vanna and Janae's lives and through their team there and the church there. And we pray in the name of Jesus that you would take them from glory to glory, Lord, that you would exalt your name and glorify your name in and through their lives, God, in and through that family, Lord, in that church, Lord. We pray for even the service this evening, Lord, and we trust, Lord, for a mighty outpouring of your spirit and power, Lord. We trust, Lord, for many souls to be saved, Lord. We trust for every person in that place to have an encounter with you this evening, Lord, in Jesus' name. We ask, Lord, that you would exalt your name, that you would glorify your name in that place this evening, Lord, that your glory will cover Sekunda, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Your Father, and we also want to just pray your blessing over this time together. Thank you for your blessing on the word. And we trust and we come with an expectancy that you would meet each one of us, Lord. And that when we leave this place, we can testify that we have met with the living God, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Won't you turn to somebody next to you and say to them, you are loved by God. And then, if there's somebody on the other side, if it isn't, then turn to the same person. I am expectant to meet with God tonight. Amen. What a blessing. Who's had a long weekend? So, what's that? Okay, no, clearly not everybody. We had such a laugh. My 2-year-old Emily, she's actually turning 3 in November. You may have heard she's the one in the house that is she's very aware of what she's wearing. You know, she's colors must be right and mostly pink most of the time. And she loves putting on different outfits during the day, which is really frustrating for me, you know, because just every few minutes I see her wearing something else. I'm like, you know. But this weekend she was coming to me and asking me, can I help her to put these shoes on? I said, okay, cool, no worries. And we put the shoes on. And I also, are these right now? Is this fine? Yeah, this is great. And she walks off, and then literally, oh, not kidding, 2 minutes later, she comes with another pair. Daddy, won't you help me put these on? I said, okay, no problem. And I put them on, and then I said, are you going to keep these on? Yeah. And then she just runs off again, and then no kidding, 3 minutes later, she's coming with a different pair. And then they end up all over the house, and then it's just, I don't know. Anyway, I'm going to start praying for her husband so long. Just for a special shoe budget on the side, if this habit continues. But in any case, she's a great blessing. She loves to pray. She really likes to pray. And it's incredible to see her putting her faith in Christ in a way a 2-year-old can. I mean, hallelujah. It's a blessing. I want us to just look at 2 weeks ago, I shared a little bit about superior firepower, talking about the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And this is the second installment. I just felt we needed to just look at a few more bits and pieces around that. And so I'm just going to recap a little bit briefly, starting from place where we read about the Great Commission, and many of us have heard of this. I'm going to read a different version, not as well known, from Luke chapter 24, and read from verse 46, and he said, yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. It was also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. This is the message. You are witnesses of all these things. And now I will send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised, but stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. So we started with that point of Jesus giving this great commission, this great, you know, command, and he basically says to them, listen, this is the culmination of the plan of the Father for the universe, and you guys need to finish this work. So this is a big moment, right? There, he's about to ascend into heaven, and he says to them, this is what you need to do, right? And then he says, but wait, you need to do one thing before you go. In fact, in another translation, he says he commands them, in another gospel, he commands them to wait in Jerusalem to receive the promise of the Father before they go. All right? He gives them this very important mandate, and he says, but wait before you go. In fact, you cannot go. I command you, you can't go until you've received the power of the Holy Spirit. How much more do we need this power? Amen? How much more do we need to wait, or if we haven't received it yet, or how much more do we need to trust God to walk in that same power to be able to do His will? Amen? There's one there. I think I heard half an amen. Hallelujah. All right, we'll get there. So we started there, and then I'm just going to recap a few of the verses we shared. John 14:16, I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you, and He will be in you. Talking about that same helper, in Greek says, the parakletos, the one who comes alongside us to help. Another word used for the Holy Spirit is the Hebrew word, it's called arabon. The pledge or the promise, the down payment, you know, it's also the similar word that's used for engagement ring. You know, when the ring comes onto the finger, that's a promise of what is to come. It's the first installment. And then that's when things get serious, right? That's when we know stuff is happening. Guys, just a side note, before that, it doesn't really count, eh? Just put the rock on the finger. Marriage prep is starting next weekend. You still have time. Just, you know, God is a miracle worker. Just kidding. Don't be hasty with these things. Any case, so this is a promise. It's the down payment. It's God saying, I'm pouring out of myself, and there's so much more to come. Isn't this incredible? The down payment, the promise. Let's go to the next one. John 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send Him to you. And we spoke about that dynamic. These guys have been walking with Christ for about 3 years. They've been literally following Jesus. They've been learning a lot. He's been teaching. He's been imparting to them. They've had the most crazy time of their lives. Okay, they've been sleeping in the bush next to the road a lot of the time. You know, it's a bit of basically a 3-year camping trip. And, you know, but they've seen the most incredible things. They've seen people healed. They've seen people delivered. They've seen people raised from the dead. And they are thinking, this is incredible. What can be better than this? Jesus is going to be the King of Israel. And then he says this thing. He says that it's to your advantage that I go away. And I can just imagine Peter saying, no, this can't be, this is wrong. In fact, at one point when Jesus was talking about his death, he says, no, it's not, I'm not going to let it happen. And he was like ready to take the guys on. But can you see how they must have felt? How can anything be better than having Jesus right here with us? But then he says to you, if I go away, it is to your advantage. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you. The presence of God, the power of God by the Holy Spirit with us, with every believer across the face of the earth at the same time. Amen. That's what he was talking about right there. Okay. So we looked at that. We looked at some dynamics around that. And I want us to actually look at a few specific things around this, just more specifically. So there are two primary ways in which we experience the Holy Spirit. And forgive me if this is something that's familiar to you. I just felt I needed to lay this foundation. So let's just bear with me. So one of the most important way that we experience the Holy Spirit is when He points us to Christ. Scripture says that when He comes, He will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. So when you and I, I think most of you will have some kind of a testimony of coming to a place of realizing that you are sinful. I came to that place realizing that I was trying to be a good person. I was trying to make it, trying to please everybody, but realizing I am a sinful human. And I am in desperate need of a Savior. That is the conviction of the Holy Spirit. That is Holy Spirit pointing me to Christ, saying, you need Jesus. So that is the major role the Holy Spirit plays in our when we come to salvation. He points us to Christ. He convicts us of our sin. He convicts us of righteousness and judgment. And He points us, as it were, to Christ, right? I want us to read from John chapter 3. From 3 and then 5 to 8, Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So that birthing process is by the Spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but it cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. So that second birth is the spiritual birth, and you cannot remove the Holy Spirit from that birth. Amen? Okay, let's go on. 1 Corinthians 12. We actually read the first bit of this last time. Apostle Paul is ministering, is writing this to the Corinthian church, and right at the beginning of the chapter, he says, now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about the special abilities or the gift of the Spirit gives us, I don't want you to misunderstand this. So he wants to kind of unpack it for them a bit. In verse 3, he says, so I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So right there in that confession, when we come to Christ and we are born again, and we, that place where we confess Jesus as Lord, we do that by the Spirit. Hallelujah. So there, that's the one primary, one very important way that we experience Holy Spirit is at the point of salvation, pointing us to Christ and then actually giving us grace to call on His name and confess Him as Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. That's very important. So that's the one very important way. But then I want us to look at two places in the New Testament. There are many, but I want us to look at two specifically regarding a very important, a different way and another way that we experience the Holy Spirit. Okay, are you still with me? So let's look at Acts chapter 19 briefly. From verse 1, and it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, another translation says, finding some believers, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. Let's just pause there. I was pretty much at this place. I was came from a very good Christian home, kind of protected environment. Went to church a lot from a young age. Actually, at one point, my mom's German, and although she's not a believer, at one point we did go to the German church, Lutheran church here in town. And she tells this one story. I don't know if I should tell you the story. Anyway, so she tells the story that I would kind of remove myself a little bit from the closet. I was about 2 or 3 or something. very small. And actually, I asked her beforehand, I asked her, what is a really bad swear word? You know, I want to know a really bad word. Obviously, I didn't have much knowledge of bad words because my parents didn't use them. But I asked my mom, Mom, can you tell me what's the worst word? And then she kind of, praise the Lord, she obviously, you know, preempted this, and she told me Zand, which means soil, grond, you know, in German. So I said, yes, okay, cool. And I went. And then when the poor lady at the Sunday church or the children's church was saying something, I would just lie under the chair in the corner and say, Zand. You know, I just say that's just, I wanted to swear and I wanted to say that. But anyway, so I was a proper sinner at that point. Any case, very skeptical of the gospel, it seems. Later on, when I was born again, I remember the shift happening. I remember the conviction of the Holy Spirit. I remember deciding, choosing to follow Christ. I remember responding to a specific altar call. I remember going, and I remember the exchange in my life on that evening, coming from a place of fear and doubt to a place of absolute peace. Not having all the answers at all, but absolute, not just the confidence that I am now born again. That I am now, I had a peace in my heart, that I had eternal life, that I was a child of God, and that He had forgiven my sins. And in the years after that, obviously a lot of those things became more clear to me, but I remember that moment. But I had not yet even heard about, you know, how this part of God, the Holy Spirit, how that relates, how I should relate to Him. That was a bit of a foreign concept. And I'd heard of the Spirit. I heard of people being anointed by the power of the Spirit as kings and priests in the Old Testament. But that was pretty much it at that point. So I was pretty much where these guys were at. I was like, what is this thing that you're talking about? Okay, I believe in God. I'm born again. But what is this thing that you're talking about? Let's go on. And He said to them, into what then were you baptized? So they said, into John's baptism. And Paul said, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on Him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Can you see the shift here? They were believers. They'd been baptized with John's baptism, but so they got baptized in the name of Jesus, and then after Paul had laid hands on them, they received the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Similarly, when I heard about this Holy Spirit and I received some teaching about it, I was very skeptical, to be honest with you. In fact, the first time I came into this church, with my sister was visiting the youth at that point. I was early high school. And I was quite skeptical, you know. People were lifting their hands up. I was like, what is going on here? You know, people were shaking their hands around in the air. I was like, what are these people doing? People were doing all kinds of strange things that I wasn't aware of. I wasn't used to. So it was very intimidating, very weird for me to be very straight with you. But I could experience the presence of God. So I stuck around and I pushed through all my fears and doubts, and I pushed through all my, you know, whoa, what on earth is going on? You know, this is weird. I pushed through all of that. And I remember coming to a point where there was an invitation at one of the youth evenings to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. And that evening, I received the empowerment of the Spirit of God, and I started speaking with tongues. And we see the same thing here. As they laid hands on them and as the Spirit came upon them, they spoke with tongues and prophecy. So this is the very important second way that we experience the Holy Spirit. We experience the conviction and the presence and the grace of the Holy Spirit for us to come to salvation as He points us to Christ. But then once we are in Christ, it's as if Jesus is pointing us to the Holy Spirit. He's pointing back. He says, as we see in Scripture, You need this helper. I'm sending you a helper. Don't go without the helper. Wait for the helper. You know, he's pointing us to Christ. And then we see the second way we experience him is the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? Let me just give you one more quick example from Acts chapter 8 as we go on. From verse 4. The believers who were scattered preached the good news about Jesus wherever they went. Philip, for example, went to the city of Samaria. That night he was in Samaria, not in Sukkot. And he told people about the Messiah. Crowds listened intently to Philip because they were eager to hear this message and see the miraculous signs he did. Many evil spirits were cast out, screaming as they left their victims, and many who had been paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was great joy in that city. Verse 12, now the people believed Philip's message of the good news concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. As a result, many men and women were baptized. Right, so we see Philip the evangelist doing his thing. He preaches the word. People get saved. People get delivered. People get healed. It's incredible. There's great joy in the city. To the people that have received the word, baptized in the water, baptized in the name of Jesus, and stuff's happening, right? So the news of this reaches Jerusalem. This means it must have taken a few days. Let's read from verse 14. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard the people of Samaria had accepted God's message, they sent Peter and John there. As soon as they arrived, they prayed for these new believers to receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them, for they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands upon these believers and they received the Holy Spirit. So we see they receive the word of God, they believe the word, they are baptized in the name of Jesus, you know, confirming what's happening in their heart. They confirm it with the act of faith in front of in public. You know, they've received the word, they're confessing their faith in Christ. And then this message goes to Jerusalem. They send a couple of guys down, Peter and John. Now, this must have taken a couple of days again because they're going by foot probably, all right? So, this is some time later. We see them doing a bit of follow-up work and then praying for these new believers to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. Can you see two different, very different moments and experiences with the Holy Spirit? All right. Now, I can testify that when I came to salvation, I remember the moment, I remember the conviction as I shared before, and my life was different, okay? But I must admit, there was a tough time those first few years. I was doing everything I could. I was striving so hard. I was praying as hard as I could. I was trying to read the word as much as I could. But a lot of it was happening in my own strength. A lot of it I was just really still trying to please God in kind of what I could do. Until the moment where I received power from the Holy Spirit. Until the moment where I received the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to do what God had called me to do. Does that make sense? There was a massive shift in my life. I say beyond the moment of salvation, this is probably the most significant moment in my relationship with God, when I received the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. The last time I mentioned the life of Peter, we see him full of zeal for Jesus, full of, you know, he wants stuff to happen. You know, he's the guy that when Jesus walks on the water, and he says, Jesus, if it's you, won't call me out to come to you, you know. I don't know, that's probably one of those moments where when you say something and you're going to just pull back the words, you know. It's just, why did I just say that? but then Jesus calls him out of the boat and he actually walks on water and he takes a bit of a wobble and he starts sinking and Jesus helps him up again. You know, he's the guy that takes on the guys that want to arrest Jesus and chops the guy's ear off. Anyway, but then at the cross, you know, we see him folding and he actually also runs away and he also denies Christ. So guys, we are in good company if you've ever done that. The Apostle Peter was in that same place, right? But can we see the transformation that has happened when we look at the first chapters of Acts, when Peter gets up on the day of Pentecost and he preaches to a crowd of thousands of people. The guy that couldn't confess Christ in front of a servant girl now standing up in front of crowds of thousands and preaching Christ. 3,000 people are born again that day. The same Peter. And he has received the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. So he's actually, in fact, not the same Peter anymore. He has been empowered by the Spirit. Can you see that? There's a massive shift that has happened. Amen. So these are those two very key ways that we experience the power of the Holy Spirit. And I want to really encourage you. I felt, as I was praying, that there's somebody here, or maybe more than one person, that has been wrestling with God. Maybe I felt maybe the last 2 weeks or so. And I felt there's somebody that has come from a good kind of Christian upbringing, but there's, where you are at now, you're far from God. And you've been wrestling. Stuff has been happening and you've been wrestling with God. And I just feel there's an invitation from the Father. And there's a grace for you to come back to Him. There's a grace for you to no longer try and serve Him out of your own strength, but to really receive the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. But we'll pray about that a bit later. Okay. Let's go on. I want us to briefly look at Romans chapter 8. See how this, just in terms of a bit more practical, from verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. So then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. And so what does it look like, this being led by the Spirit of God? All who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God, are children of God. And this is a big part of what I feel God wants to hold before us this evening. And I'm also, this is something that the Holy Spirit has been laying on my heart and I've been kind of working through myself. So I'm also preaching it myself this evening. But I found in my own life and with some that I've guys that I've been chatting to, that it seems to me that when it comes to the stuff around church, it seems sometimes it's a little bit easier. It doesn't mean it's very easy, but it could be a little bit easier for us to trust in the power of the Holy Spirit in those kind of things. All right. So the other night, if you haven't been to Bible school, I think you can still sneak in the back door this coming Tuesday. But this last Tuesday, we took the first years out on a practical. I'm sorry if you missed that. And we went to share the love of Jesus down here at they call it the strip. I don't know. There's this part of a few bars and a few places, clubs where a lot of the young guys hang out. So we went across there to groups of two, and we just went to share the love of Christ, right? And it's just so incredible, firstly, to experience the heart of God for people. We prayed beforehand, you know, God showed us a few things. One of the things He showed me was somebody, a guy with a brown leather jacket. I thought, that's a bit old school. I don't know if anybody still wears those, you know. And it sure as anything, there were like three people in the bar, and one of them was wearing a brown leather jacket. It wasn't Jay, by the way. But I like it. I also have a leather jacket. But in any case, but it was so cool to see, you know, God show us before, and there was another few people that got specific images and got specific, you know, people in their mind's eye, and God took us to those people and we could minister to them. You know, I was standing at the bar, which I haven't done in a while. I ordered a Coke and chatting to this guy next to me with the brown leather jacket. He was having, I don't know what, but it looked quite potent. And but I was amazed at how open people were to talk about God. And I was amazed that he was open for me to pray with him there at the bar. I was also able to pray for the bouncer guy at the door. He's like twice my size. But such a soft heart and so open. After a while, in our chatting about a few things, and also he is married, he's got a young boy. And the Lord could really minister to him. And I was just amazed that the place where when we allow ourselves to be led by the Spirit of God, there's life. Amen? But what I wanted to say is that, I got onto this now. But it seems to me, when it comes around stuff like that, outreach, so we prayed beforehand, we trusted the Holy Spirit to give us specific words. While we were walking, we were praying in the Spirit. You know, going to India recently, praying a lot in the Spirit. Did that make sense to us? Or maybe small group or church, you know, there's a lot of praying going on and trusting in God. But then, somehow, when I get to my workplace or when I get to challenges around my finances, somehow, it becomes more difficult. And I found God's telling me, I find myself not trusting God for words of knowledge in my workplace. I find myself not trusting God for divine strategy for my studies or for this project that I'm having, I'm working with at work. Are you with me? So it seems that there's almost a duality that's happening, that the stuff that doesn't always fit in my church or Christian box, those things, it's sometimes more difficult for us to really be led by the Spirit. Are you with me? And I felt God wants us to help us this evening to deliver us of these partitions in our lives. That we say, okay, these are all the church boxes, and that's very blessed. And then I pray in the Spirit, and the Lord gives me words of knowledge and directs my steps. But these things, surely, and I'm really an expert in my field. Maybe you're a specialist in your field. Maybe you've got great experience, and you haven't found yourself praying in the Spirit at your office for a long time, or maybe in your res or in your class. Maybe you haven't really waited on God for a word of knowledge for your tough situation with your boss. Are you with me this evening? I felt the Lord is saying, there's an invitation for us to walk as children of God, to be led by the Spirit, to experience His empowerment, not only when we're on outreach in India, not only at small group, but when you hit the ground, when the rubber hits the road in the workplace, when it gets tough, or when you're sitting in that finance board meeting, or whatever it is, or when you're just about to give that presentation or that exam, that you can trust in the power of the Spirit. I'm not saying don't study, okay? Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying don't prepare. I'm not saying don't be equipped. Don't hear what I'm not saying. Do that, all those things. Equip yourselves. Get good advice. But are you being led? Are you and I being led by the Spirit of God? You know, are we setting our hearts and minds on the Spirit? You know, if you read here in verse 5, those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind of the flesh is death, but to set the mind of the Spirit is life and peace. And I've seen this in various things. If I am facing a challenge in my finances and I'm setting my mind on the flesh, you know, I'm scheming and I'm thinking of all kinds of plans. If I'm not careful, I tend to go into that direction. You know, my name comes from Jacob, and it refers to the schemer, right? So if I'm not careful, I kind of slip into that direction to scheme. But when I do that, there's no life there. I can promise you that. This is not cool. And I had to repent a few times and say, I'm sorry, God. You know, I've been kind of trying to scheme stuff. But when I set my heart and my mind on the Spirit, and I allow the Holy Spirit to direct me in my finances, just as an example, then there's life. Then there's fruit. Sometimes it doesn't look to me like good fruit in the here and now. And if I tell my friend about it that doesn't follow Christ, he will look at me funny. But I know the eternal fruit is real. And then in due time, the seed there returns in good fruit. Are you with me? Another example is, for instance, in relationships or in marriage. You know, if you're struggling with a situation at home or in your marriage, if you go into the flesh, it just goes pear-shaped. Amen? You know, so you're in defense or in, you know, just kind of not humbling yourself and kind of trying to prove the other person wrong. This can, you can pull this across to many relationships. It just goes down pear-shaped, you know, just spirals. But if we've set our hearts on the Spirit, then there's life and there's forgiveness and there's restoration. I don't know, maybe that's a word for somebody here. If you're having a bit of a challenge in the relationship with your spouse and there's maybe a bit of a standoff, I want to ask you this question. When last have you set time aside to really intercede for your spouse? And I'm not saying to pray, Lord, please deliver them from all these demons that they... I'm saying, when last did you really pray and really intercede on their behalf? Because you know what happens when we do that is we engage the heart of God for that person. And suddenly, we see them in a completely different light. Again, you can pull this across to different relationships. You see them in a different light. You see, experience the heart of God for that person. And you know what? Then it's easy to humble yourself and to receive God's grace. Amen? Amen? Amen. Amen. So when we set our minds on the things of the flesh, things don't look good. But when we set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. Let's go on. Maybe in terms of your work, maybe. Pastor Sias always tell us a story of when he was still in the corporate setting. You know, you'd be sitting, he was thrown into a job position that was really, he was really out of his depth. It was not really his field of expertise, but he accepted the position. And he recounted a few times when he sat in a boardroom with the CEO and the guys were putting these crazy stuff, you know, for him to sort out, you know, scenarios and things that he had really no experience of. Then he would just excuse himself and go to the bathroom briefly. And he would be just praying in the Holy Spirit, you know, praying in the bathroom, you know, trying not to take too long, you know. And then but then the Lord would just give him words of knowledge and words of wisdom and crazy strategies that would come straight from God. And while he was talking, he'd always been making notes. Because he knew if he forgot this, he'd be in trouble, you know. So and that really inspired me. And I can really say that there have been times when you're under pressure and you're in the world and you're facing challenges where we can really depend on and trust in the Spirit of God to direct our steps in a very real and a very practical way. Are you with me? Let's look at 2 Timothy. I mentioned this briefly last time, and I want to look at it. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1 to 5. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. Let's see if you can recognize any of these symptoms of the last days. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents. I've seen that one. Ungrateful. Unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God and having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Guys, I don't know about you, but I can recognize this whole list, basically. You just have to watch the news for 2 days. Or if you're not experiencing it closer to home. But I remember the time before I was born again when I was pretty much in this place. There was an appearance of godliness. I was trying to be a good person. I was trying to do everything right. I came from an environment where that seems to have been the norm. You know, you have to keep the appearances all right, and you have to tick all the boxes on the Sunday. But what happened during the week was quite different. There was that appearance of godliness, but there was no power. Now, let's think a little bit of what that means. There's an appearance of godliness, so there appears to be something good, but actually, I was denying the power of Christ to save me. Amen. There's an appearance of something that looks like it could be godly, but I was trying to earn my salvation, trying to do the right thing to be accepted by God. Right? There was an appearance of something that could have been godly, but I was trying to serve God on my terms. Philip also mentioned this week or so ago, that what that means is when you and I are trying to, or, you know, kind of doing some kind of trying to follow God, but wanting it to do it in our own terms, what you're basically doing is we are following, or we are worshiping a God that we have made for ourselves. So you could just as well make a little wooden statue. That would be weird, right? But we do that. We try to follow God in a way that ticks our boxes, in a way that is comfortable for me, in a way that is on my terms. And all that I'm doing is I'm creating a God that is pleasant for me. So I'm worshiping a God of my own making. And I felt God just laying on my heart that this is part of what he's talking about here, that there's an appearance of godliness, but denying the power of God. And specifically also, when we're doing the religious moves, we're making the moves, we're doing all the right things, but we're not really being led by the Spirit of God, and we're not really walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, are we really following Christ? Are we really being children of God, led by the Spirit? Amen. So yes, this is challenging. This is pressing a lot of buttons in my own life. But I'm praying that this evening that God will help us and deliver us from slipping into that way of having a form of godliness, but not walking in the power of Christ. Amen? In the power of the Holy Spirit. Are you with me this evening? Hallelujah. Okay. So one of the, just the images that I got, is for instance, imagine we were to make a rugby team, show for Pretoria rugby team, right? This is a good example, maybe not. We did this years ago. We had some really big guys in church. I'm not saying we don't have any big guys now, but we had some lot of military guys in church, and a few of them played rugby. From time to time, club rugby. So we had this team, and we played against one or two military of the defense force teams. I wasn't around when they actually played, which may be a good thing. But imagine we did make a team, and we were planning to play a game, and then suddenly Siya Kolisi decided to come and join us. Do you know who he is? Current rugby Springbok captain. Right, so imagine he comes and he says, "Listen, guys, I want to join. Can I join in? Can I give you some pointers?" And we say, "Yes, you know what, bro? Thanks so much, but won't you just hang there on the side, on the bench? You know, you can cheer us on, and if we're really in trouble, you can jump in." Do you think that would be silly for us to do that? To take somebody that is really on top of his game at the moment and one of the best in the world in his position. But I felt God saying, isn't that what we're doing when he sends his Holy Spirit? He sends his power and he says, I want you to wait for the helper. I'm sending you a helper. I'm sending you the paracletos. He's going to come alongside you. And we say, that's wonderful. Won't you sit there on the side? I got this. That's not wise. That's not bright. Amen? I feel God is saying he's giving us this power. He's giving us of himself. And so many times we are just kind of denying that, and we're saying, listen, I'm going to just struggle through this on my own. I'm going to try and figure this out. And how it works is when we are proud, God, we find God resists us. But we humble ourselves and say, yes, please, don't you want to come and just play the whole game on my behalf? Then the power of the Holy Spirit comes. Amen. When we humble ourselves, we receive God's grace. So I'm going to throw that out there. Are you daily embracing and walking with the Holy Spirit, the helper that comes alongside? Are you and I being led by the Spirit, or are we just trying to figure out our own way? Let's look at, and so on, let's just skip the next one. And just go on. I just want to mention this one again, sorry. before we close, 1 Corinthians 2:1-5, I just want to repeat this verse. When I first came to you, this is the Apostle Paul writing to the Corinthians, and this guy is incredibly well educated, right? For that time, probably some of the highest qualified people, very well educated, very well qualified in a whole range of things. And verse from us 1, when I first came to you, dear brothers and sisters, I didn't use lofty words and impressive wisdom to tell you God's secret plan, for I decided that while I was with you, I would forget everything except Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified. I came to you in weakness, timid and trembling, and my message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. I did this so you would trust not in human wisdom, but in the power of God. I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit, and I did this so that you would trust not in human wisdom, but in the power of God. And are you and I relying on the power of the Holy Spirit? Or are we trusting in human wisdom? Let's stand this evening. Evening, if some of the band can, they're just making their way up. I just made some notes on here. I just felt that there's a couple of groups of people that I want us to pray with. And so if you're here this evening, and maybe some of this sounds a bit foreign to you, and you've not experienced the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, I really believe there's a grace this evening. If you have found yourself where I was years ago, following Christ, sure of my salvation, sure that I'm born again, but not yet empowered by the Spirit, not yet having received the infilling of the Holy Spirit, then I want to invite you this evening to respond, and I want to invite you to come to the front, that we can pray for you, all right? So we're going to give an opportunity for that in a moment. And then I also felt that if you're in that place of that bit of duality that's happening, where there's you experiencing the power of God in amazing ways in certain parts of your life, but then other parts is as if it's more difficult to really be led by the Spirit. And I feel His grace just to break through that, to allow the Holy Spirit just to remove those partitions and to really allow Him to be Lord over all. Amen. Let's pray this evening. Hallelujah, Father. Father, we thank You for Your presence in this place, Lord. Thank You that You are a good Father. Thank You that You love each one in this place so much. Thank You that You gave Your Son so that we may have life, Lord. You gave Your Son that we might be reconciled with You, Lord. We were enemies with You, Lord. We were opposing You, Lord. The Bible says that we are at enmity with You. We're enemies with God, but while we were still enemies, you sent your Son to die in our place, Lord. You demonstrated your love for us in the most powerful way. You reached out to us across the chasm of our debt of sin. And you said, I love you. Come and be reconciled. I thank you, Lord, that you know every heart in this place. You even know that person that I spoke of earlier that's been wrestling, coming from a good Christian home, but right now you're far from God. You've been wrestling with this for maybe two and a half weeks, maybe longer. I just feel it's gotten really intense, and there's shame and guilt, and there's some of you that is a part of you that feels I can't come to God because of all these things in my life. And all these things that I've done and all the stuff that's happened, I can't come to God. But God is saying, I know about those things. And I've made provision for those things. I love you so much, my child, and I want you to come to me that I can give you grace to work through these things. I want to wash you clean. I want to give you a clean slate. And as you humble yourself, my grace is sufficient for you. And as you bow the knee before Christ, I'll wash you clean. I remove your sin from you as far as the east is from the west. He even calls us blameless when we are in Christ. While every eye is closed, if that's you this evening and you want to respond to that grace, you want to come back to Him, or you want to know, you want to make right with God this evening, you want to receive the gift of salvation, you want to be washed clean again, won't you raise your hand for a moment? Every eye is closed. Won't you just raise your hand? I'd love to pray with you. Is there anybody like that this evening? Thank you. Thanks for those hands. Thank you. I want us to take a moment to just briefly pray with every person that's put up their hand. And if you've not put up your hand, I want us to pray together, just to bring our hearts before God. And I'm just going to lead us in a very short prayer, just to commit our hearts to God again for fresh. So won't you pray after me, every person? Lord Jesus, I thank you that you love me, that you've made a way for me. I repent of my sin. Lord, I realize I'm a sinner. I'm in need of a Savior. Thank you that you sent your Son. I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and that you've raised Him from the dead. I turn away from my sin. I turn away from my old life. I choose to follow you, Jesus. I choose to put my trust in you. I declare that you are Lord of my life. I give you all control. Be King of Kings in my life. Thank you that I'm your child. Thank you for the gift of salvation and eternal life. Thank you that I can hear your voice. Thank you that you are faithful, Lord, to finish the good work that you've started in me for your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. If you've prayed that prayer for the first time, I want to ask you to be really bold and to step out to the front as we're going to pray for some people now. But there's a few specific people that I'm also going to pray for. So I'm just going to give you an opportunity. Firstly, I felt there, and this is something that came up in the prayer beforehand as well. There's a couple of people here this evening that are struggling with a heaviness. Maybe it's a sort of depression. Some that you know you're following Christ, but the joy is missing. Is there anybody like that this evening? You just come forward. There's no shame in this. We just want to trust God to restore joy of salvation and to really allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you. I'm going to continue just mentioning a few people, but if that's you, won't you come to the front? We're going to pray for you. Amen. And I also felt specifically there's somebody that's been having a challenging time at work, and it feels like you've kind of hit a ceiling in your workplace, and it feels like it's almost a dead end, and there's you kind of wrestling, you know, with should you stay or should you look for something else, or is it where God wants you to be, but it feels like a dead end, and it feels like you've hit kind of a ceiling there, and you've been asking whether, you know, you should make a move or whether you should stay, but there are not really many options. And if that's you this evening, is there anybody like that? Okay, why don't you come to the front? We want to pray with you, guys. Come now, we can pray. Thanks, guys. And then I felt also somebody specifically with a pain in their right ankle. Is there anybody that's had pain in an ankle? Not now. Okay. If you know of somebody that's wrestling with that, why don't you come forward? You can stand proxy. I just felt there's somebody we need to pray for about that. Is there anybody else that we've been praying before, and is there anybody else that has a word in their heart to share? Just want to trust the Holy Spirit to minister.
I just want to agree with what my lady said earlier. When we were worshiping, I had a picture of somebody holding onto like a rope, thinking that this is your safety and your security, but the rope actually had little like hairs or little spiky bits on it, and you're holding so tightly to something that's actually hurting you, and you're putting all your trust in this thing, and the tighter you hold, like the deeper the spikes get into your hand. And I felt like there was like just this fear of letting go into the unknown, because this is all you know, is to cling to this thing. And God sort of showed me that as you let go, you sort of fell into His arms, kind of thing, but you weren't able to fall into His arms because you were holding on to something that's hurting you. So I just want to like agree with what the lady was saying earlier about like sort of fear and anxiety kind of thing. But if there's anybody struggling with that, it'd be good to pray with you as well.
Amen. Thank you. That's, we can relate to that. Won't you also join us in the front? And then specifically, if you're a believer here this evening, you know that you have a relationship with God, but you have not yet received the infilling of the Holy Spirit. God is such a good God. He's such a good Father. He loves giving good gifts to His children. Amen. I believe He's extending that invitation to you this evening, saying, my daughter, my son, I want to give you this gift. It's going to change your life. It's a good gift. Amen. So if that's you, while we're going to pray now, won't you please come to the front? And those that raised their hands earlier and those that wanted to raise their hands, I'm just going to close the service now, but I want to please ask you to be bold, to come to the front. God has prepared something for you. And if you have any other prayer need, please be bold to come as well. Okay. Father, we thank you for the word this evening. We thank you for your presence, Lord. We thank you that you are a giver of good gifts. We thank you for the gift of your Spirit. And right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we humble ourselves, Lord, and we declare, we need you, Jesus. We need you, Holy Spirit. We need your power in our lives, Lord. We cannot make it through this life unless you are with us and alongside us and in us and through us, Lord. Unless the same power that rose Christ from the dead is with us and in us and through it, Lord, we can't do it. We trust that you would fill us afresh this evening, Lord. And even this week that we would bring a shift in our hearts, and we would find ourselves praying in the Spirit, that we would find ourselves waiting on you for those difficult situations, trusting you for direction, trusting you just to direct our steps, trusting you to lead us, Lord. In Jesus' name, let your kingdom come in and through us, Lord. Let your name be glorified in and through our lives, God. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you need to go, feel free to go. If you want to respond to this, to any of these words, please come to the front right now. We'd love to pray with you. And can I have some facilitators to come and help pray, please? Please stay around and worship a bit. If you need to go, have some refreshments on outside. Thanks so much, guys. God bless.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.